Fall of the Roman Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. Sulla versus Mithridates in 87 BC. Now, Sulla had barely left Italy for Greece. Then Cinna annulled all the laws of Sulla and reinstated the laws of Sulpius Rufus. He enrolled the Italian allies in all 35 Roman tribes against not only opposition from the Senate, but from his own co-consul, Gnaeus Octavius. After more rioting, Octavius drove Cinna from Rome, and the Senate declared him a public enemy of the state. This, of course, was a senatorial blunder, as it gave Cinna the opportunity to appeal to the Italian voters, as well as winning the support of the Roman army besieging the Campanian town of Nula. This is the same town that Sulla had gone for support. Well, Cinna recalled Marius from Africa and various groups that were against Sulla then marched on Rome. Arriving from Africa, Marius, now well over 70, stormed Rome's port city of Ostia and cut off Rome's food supply. When Rome surrendered, Marius just snapped. Brutalized by years of war, embittered by the ingratitude and neglect, and maddened by his recent experiences in Italy and Africa as a hunted outlaw. For days, his followers took revenge. Marius himself ranged through Rome like a raving lunatic. His proscription list of his hated nobles and senators was circulated, and their mutilated corpses littered the city streets. Property was confiscated and auctioned. Cinna was appalled and ultimately was able to stop the slaughter. In 86 BC, Marius at last achieved his long-cherished ambition, that is, his seventh consulship. But a few days before being sworn in, he fell ill and died. In 87 BC, of course, Sulla had landed in Greece with 30,000 men. From Epirus, he advanced in the Boeotia, where he defeated the forces of Ariston and Archelaus, driving them into open country. Next, the Romans invaded Attica and besieged Athens, which held out until the spring of 86 BC. When Athens surrendered, Sulla killed every 10th Athenian. In other words, he decimated them, killed every 10th. Normally, if you had a Roman unit that had been accused of cowardice, they would decimate them. They basically line them up, and then a man would walk behind counting to 10, and every 10th man would be killed. Well, in this case, he does it to every 10th Athenian. Well, after killing the Athenians, he then loots the city and then carried off rare books and artwork. Then after hard fighting, Sulla captured the city of Piraeus, or the port city of Piraeus, destroying its installations as well as its docks, which, of course, will damage the Athenian shipping industry. Then Sulla marched north to meet a Pontic army of 100,000 men that had come into Greece from Thrace and Macedonia. The Pontic army was terrible. It was mostly poorly disciplined barbarians. Sulla easily destroyed it at Chaeronea using trenched fortifications. In 86 BC, something Sulla would do again in 85 BC at Achmenus. Note, the eastern rulers, despite major defeats, continued to employ the hoplite phalanx formation and tactics that have been obsolete for the last 200 years. After the Battle of Chaeronea, Lucius Valerius Flaccus arrived. Now, he was sent by Cinna, and it was his job to take command from Sulla. When Sulla refused to yield command, Flaccus, after an oral agreement with Sulla, set out for Asia by way of Macedonia and Thrace. Once in Bithynia, Flaccus's legate, C. Flavius Fimbria, led a mutiny and killed Flaccus. Fimbria was then elected commander by a soldier's consul, and Fimbria then defeated Mithridates' son in a night attack and then marched against the city of Pergamum. At this point, the very feared Mithridates decided to sue for peace. He'd had several Roman defeats, but they were still in other areas. Now, Asia Minor was now in revolt against his tyranny, And he catches a real break here because Sulla needs a quick peace as well. That's because he wants to go back to Italy and take revenge on the followers of Marius and Cinna. So this peace treaty is probably as nice as you're ever going to get out of the Romans, particularly since Mithridates had killed all those Roman citizens. It's called the Peace of Dardanus, and it was signed in Troad in 85 BC. As I said before, it is the softest treaty Rome ever made. Remember, Mithridates, and I told you, had killed at least 100,000 Romans. Here's the terms. First of all, Mithridates would have to abandon all of his conquests in Asia Minor. He would then have to surrender 80 warships. He would also then pay 2,000 talents. The money, which usually seems like a lot, is, you know, it really isn't. Now, the province of Asia was basically looted. The Romans managed to extract 20,000 talents from it. And they also collected 5 years back taxes. Sulla then wintered his army in the winter of 85-84, during which the inhabitants had to pay each Roman soldier 16 drachma a day, plus food and clothing. Then to raise the money, the people of Asia had to borrow money to pay their responsibilities. And that money was then loaned to them by Roman moneylenders, putting the once rich province in a crushing debt burden. At one point, it was one of the richest provinces in all of Rome. And after Sulla is done with it, it will end up being one of the most impoverished. It's one of the real catastrophes here, is that the Romans are just going to pillage the Anatolian kingdoms that are in this area, using Mithridates as their excuse. So this, of course, does allow our good friend Sulla to then head back to Italy to wreak his revenge on Marius and Cinna and the others. So there's a lot more to come at this point. Now, the sources for this is The History of the Romans by Haeckel, Heim, and Yao, The Chronicle of the Roman Republic by Matusak, and The History of the Romans by Born. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question. I'll leave a comment. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us, and of course, check out the CDs. Thank you very much.